Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already moved.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Go ahead and turn two down. The one thing that I wanted to go over today, I mean, there's several things that are going on. Saturday, I went to the Tucson Gun Show, Crossroads of the West, and they will be here this weekend. I talked to Bob Templeton, which is the owner of Crossroads of the West, and there was a lot of press down there. Every television camera was down there. And they want, of course, they want to go in. And people in buying guns and gun dealers, they don't like cameras. No cameras. Stay, keep your butt out there. Well, of course, they set up the cameras, you know, as people are going in and out, and just videotaping everybody walking in and walking out and so on. So it's just really they want to do that. Okay, fine. It didn't seem like, you know, a lot of people had too much of a problem with it. It was like, whatever. They did interviews with Bob and Charles Heller down there for Arizona Constitutional Defense League. Is that that's what it is? So the they got, I'm sure, the rhetoric out that we would do. And then they had a minute of silence at the gun show. And everybody, you know, was quiet, you know, and respect for fallen fellow citizens. And then they went to, I even say fellow citizens, you know, residents, human beings, you know. I'm not a collective guy. And what happened was they went and they had a plexiglass box as donation out front, and there was just lots of money. People were, you know, putting in money there to give to the families. So it was nice, demonstration of, you know, just being nice. Now, the media, it was interesting to watch them at work. I mean, don't you think that? I mean, it's already predetermined what they wanted to get out. And they're not going to address the real issues. They're not going to address the issues about mental illness. They're not going to address the issues about, why this guy was, what kind of medication was he on and how many times and opportunities they had to get him help and they didn't. And they're going to blame the gun, you know. But I think it's not really working out the way that they wanted, and that people are starting to understand that they're safer from people just like this by having an armed society. In fact, it's an armed individual that helped restrain the guy. Well, you know, he didn't draw, and you go, I go, good. You know, and fortunately, he was smart enough not to have to, and he was restrained. So he didn't want to play Judge Dredd and kind of, you know, and judge him right there. He didn't need to. That's for the system. So I think it's going out okay. But one distraction that Bob Templeton, the owner of the Crossroads of the West, he'll be on this week. Oh, yeah, Sarah, you need to book him. I told you to call him today. And what we need to do is we'll have him on. We're going to be talking about using junk silver as coupons. And this is how we did it. I went to this one gentleman. I needed to get some more ammo cans. You always have ammo cans anywhere from $8 to $20, depending on the size. And they're good for storing stuff and putting those things like ammo in. So I go and I said, you know, I needed these three big ones that they are. And they're $20 a piece, $60. Well, he also had a sign out there that said, you know, old silver. I trade this, and old silver. Well, junk silver. You know, I'm thinking, oh, this guy knows what's going on. So we had our cards printed up. Silver bullet cards and so on. We gave them to him. We talked about, and I said, yeah, you know, I'm willing. I got a couple of silver dollars in my wallet. You know, I just keep them in there, along with a Freedom's Phoenix silver ounce. So I go, all right, you know, I'm willing to do this. You know, what do you give me? I got two of these. What are you willing to give me for that? Oh, I'll give you two. And I'm like, heck no, because I know the value. There's 0.77 ounces of silver in each one of those. At $30, that means it's about $45. You know, just over about $45 just in silver. Not counting whether it's old or not or pretty or that doesn't matter. It's $45 in silver in these two coins. So I'm going to, you know, give, he's going to make $5 on me by getting these two. I'm like, nice try, buddy, you know. So I'm going, no. Three. Well, I'll give you a 50 caliber, you know, a smaller ammo can, you know, as a third. Nope, I want three of these for this. I know the silver kind of comes to you at 45. Oh, dang it. I hate when you guys know what's going on. Okay, so I get the three. Now, normally it would have been $60, so I saved $15. So did I get exactly what it was I was trying to demonstrate? Yes. Yes, I get a discount for using silver. Now, here comes the tax man. What would they do? What did I give him?
$2.
I gave him $2. You can tax my $2. Two U.S. dollars. Starting to get it? So I'm going, all right. Now I come in and I get a dime. Now we start talking. We got a bunch of cards from people, talk to different vendors, send them the emails today. And we'll go, look, when you come up to Phoenix, I show up with a 1964 or earlier dime that's worth $2.20 or $2 or whatever, and I say, you know, what do I get for this? Yeah, $5 coupon. I made $3 using junk silver as a coupon, as a discount. Now, what do they do? You know, as a coupon or discount, they get $5 off for a dime face value. They get to write that off. You know, that's how I did it at my restaurant. You know, I had a pizza and I got coupons for cost of doing business. That was advertising. So this is what we're, you know, coming up with. Now, on Lou Rockwell last week, I had a gentleman, you know, he's an economics professor of and saying how we're going to bring silver into market. And you got it. And they have a special account and you price everything in silver grams and you every day. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going, you know, it's a lot easier than that, man. So this is what we're going to do. So it's already been done. Did it Saturday. I get a call yesterday from Drew Phillips that was down in Tucson, said, hey, were you able to get any kind of discount? I go, yes, I was. And they're already primed. You just go down there and start going with your silver and see what you can get. So by this Saturday, we're going to be doing that. I think that's going to work out well. Today is Martin Luther King holiday. Now, it's, you know, I don't know how it's celebrated in your community or if it is at all and so on. It's a government holiday. So we weren't able to do the wallet voting, we fed your parking meter so you won't feed the state thing because it's free parking today. So we got to wait till tomorrow. So we're going tomorrow to do that. Now, the dealing with the Phoenix Police Department, talked to them, you know, the community service there, Al Ramirez, my friend from a long time ago. And I said, you know, Al, and I call him a friend, and we're friendly. You know, I mean, I know where his loyalties lie, but, you know, it's, yeah. You know, at least, you know, somebody to talk to. So I go and I said, told him what we were going to be doing. We're going to be putting money in parking meters and then put a little card, say you got free parking courtesy up. We fed the meter so you won't feed the state. You know, the state got a problem with that? Probably. So he says, he goes, well, Ernie, I don't know of any ordinance or anything against that. And I go, that doesn't matter. You know, they don't care. You know, he goes, well, I don't have a problem with it. I go, cool. Make sure you tell everybody this because this is what's going on. Throughout America, MK America, they have been arresting people for interfering with government regulation, doing business of, kind of whatever excuse they can make up, you know, to arrest people to try and stop them from doing this very thing. And I said, now, you know that I know there's no ordinance again. And even if there was, I'd challenge it anyway. But I go, you know, I'm kind of counting on you guys being stupid. But, you know, it's always good to warn you and let you know that we're going to do this. Here comes the video cameras. Well, they're kind of sensitive to Freedom's Phoenix anyway, because Morpheus, Thomas, he goes out last week, and you saw on Freedom's Phoenix Today, there is, in the weekend, he has a video that he did where they went to the legislature with a big sign. It's 5 4x8 sheets of coroplast that make up this 20-foot by 8-foot sign or something. It's a huge sign. And he goes, and it says, one side it says, today's legislators, tomorrow's problems, or something like that. Well, they don't like that one, you know. And it has an elephant and a donkey on the front. On the back side, it says, 9/11 was an inside job. Well, he goes, after they got done at the legislature, they went on a freeway overpass, put that up, and as they're leaving, here comes a police officer with his big mouth full of chalk. And he's like, what? And he goes, finally Thomas just goes, is this voluntary? Well, well, am I under arrest? Is this voluntary interaction? Well, yeah, I get it. He goes, okay. And he leaves. They don't like that. So you go watch that. You have some fun with it. Barry Hess is in, and we'll have a nice conversation when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, some of you on the video are seeing my left eye is really red. My wife, her right eye was really red, had like an infection or something, got some gel and stuff for it. That it kind of something. And we were worried about that for a few days. Seems like it's getting better. And then I get it. And then we start talking to some friends. We went up this weekend up New River, you know, some friends of ours at, out of the valley. And they started going, man, you know, a lot of people we know are doing this. So I started finding a lot of people are getting sick. And all my family, they got, you know, the eye problems. And they said, in the morning we get up early. It's like this, you know, I mean, I don't know what your thing is on this. This is what they said. Chemtrails, man. They go, man, it's just they do it right over here north of the valley, and then we just see it. Just kind of, you can see the river of air. It kind of goes down into the valley. You know, even what's not up high, it just kind of falls into whatever. And I'm going, okay, because New River's kind of elevated and north of Phoenix. And so I'm just, you know, nothing surprises me anymore. So we're going to keep track of the what on earth are they spraying thing. And in fact, Senator Karen Johnson, at the beginning of the legislative session last week, a week before, she went down to the Arizona legislature. She's a former senator. And she went down there and she said, no, you guys need to be checking into this, because this is something, because she has a different issue up in northeastern Arizona. She's dealing with some kind of an effort to take all the aquifer water up there. So this is, you know, you have someone, I mean, she knows what's going on. You know, she's been at this. Now, what I wanted to talk about, you know, in relation to, here comes this job stuff, and I bet you it's happening in all the states. This is one thing that I've found out. When they do this, it happens everywhere all at the same time. This is what I'm going to play for you. This, I don't know, when was it? It was November. It was right when they did the TARP of 08. You know, right after the election, and they brought back Shattuck, you know, now senior fellow at the Goldwater Institute, brought back the TARP because if you vote it down, it can't come back up unless somebody that voted against it decides to bring it back. That's one of the rules. So who is the person that brought it back? John Essig, SS, National Socialization of the Economy and Fascists when I do it, Shattuck. Okay, so I'm going, okay. Now, the NBC affiliate went around and talking to people on the street, you know, what's your take on it? We got to do something. Well, of course, they had to have the other side, so they call Ernie, okay? They want to come by and see what's what. Now, it's like a couple of minute thing, but I'm only going to pay about 30 seconds because there's a point I want to make here. Let's go ahead and do this, push the button.
Still, David Skinner trusts the system.
Any more educated men than me are making those decisions. And I think they know what they're doing, and I put my confidence in that.
I think time is going to tell. They need to do something to instill the confidence that people are lacking right now.
Confidence, Arizona libertarian Ernest Hancock says, was lost a long time ago.
The socializing of America's finances has been in the works for decades.
Hancock convinced the feds will continue to ask taxpayers for more money week after week.
This week they're saying, oh, we only need $700 billion. You think that's really all they need? You think that's all? That's going to be the final check? That's this week's check.
It is hard.
And you see, now that was my point. I'm going, look, I knew better. There is no doubt in my mind this will continue over and over and over and will be a justification for them to do a lot of things, like a central plan for the free market. That's not even possible, okay? So Barry Hess, in this last election cycle, ran for governor. And it was, you know, all this came up. You went to how many forums and speaking engagements did you have?
184 total.
Wow. That's a lot of work. And what was it you were sharing?
Sharing that we've got to get government out of the way. There's no money. We've got to shrink government. We've got to get rid of the taxes. And, of course, my big thing was to eliminate the income and property taxes, and we'd be out of the Depression by now.
But it won't serve them.
That's right.
Now, what is it that their goal is? As you've been doing this, this was your third time for governor.
Right.
You have a lot of respect of the people here. You got a lot of good coverage this time. You know, a lot of, you know, people got it. They saw what was going on. They knew what the Libertarian was about. And I'm telling you, what are they about?
You know, there's this real conflict going on with people because they say we want smaller government, we want less taxes, we want less coming out, we want less from government. But by the same token, then they'll back up and go, that's where my pension comes from. And then they back off and they go back to the same old Republican Democrat ways.
Now, this, we have yet to see the actual job bill. Now, John Green came in and he said, look, I just want you to know, you know, here it is. I got a copy from one of the legislators, and all I had to do is look for you do Ernest Hancock, John Green. It'll come up on a Google search on Freedom's Phoenix. But it's the Arizona Jobs Bill, Freedom's Phoenix, and that'll probably come up there too. Now, what the Jobs Bill is about is a piece of legislation that's written by Goldman Sachs the life out of you. They are all about the debt. They don't care what the program is. They don't care what the war is. They don't care who's being killed, which side wins. They just want to own the debt. Well, this economic development plan or whatever comes with bonding debt. In this legislation, it will say, I guarantee you, this is the cornerstone of this entire thing. Pages and pages and pages, and they'll have this one paragraph. If a municipality or anybody falls behind on servicing of the debt, making the payments, the interest, whatever, that the state treasurer will take all shared revenue in the form of property taxes, sales taxes, school tax, whatever it is, and it goes to pay that debt, that bond, first before a dime goes to the municipality. And I'm going, there is your bank robbery. And they have turned every Arizona resident into a slave to whatever debt they can create. That's what this is all about. It's all about the debt interest on the guaranteed state taking it first debt paid money. To who? To whom? Who? Goldman Sachs and guys just like them. Why? Because they can.
That's about what it comes down to, too. You're right. They do want the debt, and they want everybody in debt, because the worst thing for our new form of socialized government is the worst thing that could happen would be an independent individual who doesn't have any debt, who owns themselves outright and can sustain themselves.
And Lord forbid, own their property.
Exactly.
I'm not happy with how this is going. I tell you, as much as we had, you know, hope in the people here, the culture, I mean, it's really highlighted a lot in Arizona politics. I mean, people know that. They're like, yeah, right. Well, you know, of course, there's enough people that, you know, will support the system as long as they're benefiting from it. It's just how many people can they get the benefit from the system? Well, I'm telling you, this is my prediction. Before the end of this year, there is going to be a neon flashing obvious sign that Arizona is going down. What will they do? The United States Congress will start changing laws allowing states to go bankrupt. Except for this economic development thing, you can't go bankrupt. They want everything else to go bankrupt so you can afford to pay them on their debt. I guarantee it. It'll have no bankrupt on this, bankrupt on everything else. Goldman Sachs gets theirs first. Done. Something happens to Ernie. It's my focus on this is why.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, what we fight for here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, in the beautiful studios of Freedom to the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Barry Hess came by, said, get your butt in the studio, man, let's yak it up. Because, you know, it's always good to have him here. You know, the one thing, I want to get this out. When I was Carrie Ann's age, Carrie Ann Citrin from the Goldwater Institute was on in the first hour. She's probably under 30. She graduated law school in 07. So that means she's probably born early 80s, mid, something like that. So when she's in pigtails and she's a little girl, you know, playing house or whatever, you know, this, I was doing this stuff, you know, when I was her age now. And there was a thing called the Exxon Oil Overcharge Fund. They called it Exxon for some reason because they could. But it's an oil overcharge fund, and it was administered by the state legislature. And it was just, ooh, they price gouged us. They charged too much money. They were hoarding, you know, or whatever the heck it was. So there was some kind of settlement made, and I'm sure there's a little backroom dealing, doing whatever. So each side got what they wanted, and they got their bucket of money. It was a payoff. So I remember when I last looked, it was $40-something million. What happened is when I was doing a lot of research on the economics, I was trying to understand the government's role in this thing, and it was evil. It was obvious. It was all for the benefit of, you know, whoever paid most money to get even more money. So I'm going, okay, I get it. Well, there was a gentleman, his name was Sam Steiger. He used to be a congressman here and became mayor of Prescott, and he was kind of, you know, a character of the area, a curmudgeon, you know, kind of, I'm going to get him, you know. Well, what happened is he said, Ernie, you want to know what's going on? I'm a young man. He's kind of wanting to mentor me into the Republican Party, you know. Then there were Democrats trying to do the same thing. And he goes, Ernie, you really want to know what to ask for in your freedom of information thing? And probably out of 10, 12 questions that I have, my freedom of information, I did the Department of Commerce and stuff here on some different stuff. I didn't even know what half of them were. And he just told me, you know, different people would make sure you ask about this and this and this. You will learn things. One of those was the oil overcharge fund. That was at the advice of Sam Steiger. I did that, and I went, okay, you know, what about this and this and this? That's when the fireworks went off. That's when they're like, sue us to get him, you what the heck? And that was the reason. So I went down. I'm like, okay, well, what is this thing? So I started going down. You go down the Arizona Capitol. At the time, this was in the late 80s, early 90s. You go to the Capitol looking for this, you know, this alternative energy department of oil overcharge funded, whatever. And it said that on a glass door. It's one of those, you know, like old private detective movies where you have a wood door with a big glass door on, right? Well, it's kind of a, you know, fogged glass, what do they call it, etched glass. And it had printed on it the oil overcharge, alternative energy, whatever the heck. It was unlocked. Okay, I go in, I open it. It was a storage room. I'm like, you know, okay, I got to add, you know, why is it even marked this? Was it ever an office? Did anybody ever do anything? It was just a bucket of money that they used to be able to do the plumbing, and it went to their boys. Here in Arizona, alternative energy, pooey. They're not doing anything. It's just, it's smoke and mirrors. It's just pretend money. It's an excuse for them to rip us off again. That's what they do. And that's what this job bill thing is going to be about. And I guarantee you, it will be about paying bonds that they create debt. And no matter what else happens in any municipality, no matter how much depression you go into, no matter how much, you won't be able to declare bankruptcy, and they will make the residents of that area a perpetual slave. And I guarantee it's not just Arizona. I bet you it's every single state. They're going to have some kind of job opportunity, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be supported by conservative groups like the Goldwater Institute, like the Heritage Foundation, like, you know, all these students, because, oh, yeah, we got to do something, and it's going to be fascism. What's today? Monday, the 17th of January 11, and I said, here it freaking comes, and all you have to do is look for it. It's going to be a job opportunity, a job. But it's got the word job in it. Economic and job. Just do a Google search on the bills in your state. Just go do a search on their state legislature. A lot of times they'll have the bills entered there. Well, they'll wait till, you know, they already got it done on this one. Yeah, because they're already talking about it. But they're waiting until it's done and they got the votes. It's going to be introduced. It's going to be like, you know, 1070, Russell Pierce doing the immigration thing. The only thing that held that off was us pointing out it was a database thing. And all of a sudden it put it on the whoa. But the thing is, they thought they were going to have that in a day. And we kind of, you know, messed that up. But, you know, on this economic thing, same kind of deal. All this database stuff, all this biometric ID and internet, whatever, it's all about control. And this control of the debt. In the name of jobs, debt for jobs. You starting to get it? And then what do they say? They're even quoted here. It says, details of, wait a minute, Glenn Hammer, president of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry, said, we are very bullish that over the next session, probably earlier than later, there's going to be an opportunity to get this packet, this passed. Details of a prospective job bill have yet to emerge, but it is expected to be part of an economic development package that will offer business tax reductions on and on and on. And here's the quote I was looking for. Assuming a job bill or economic development package becomes law, job seekers shouldn't expect quick results. Job ads won't increase suddenly when a law takes effect, and people could lose their jobs in the interim because of the expected steep state spending cuts this year. So they're going, we're going to do this, and it's probably not going to have positive effect anyway. We've got to do something. You know, what's it going to do? It's going to create more debt. This is, it's, you know, I, how fast can I get ready? We're getting ready. You know, we were talking about, you know, building the, Nebu, as in Nebuchadnezzar jacking into the Matrix, you know, our communication mobile unit. And we started finding out that there are a lot of old television and radio, especially television, that they've gone to these pop-out trailers. You know, now you used to have communication trailers with the, you know, the telescopic satellite dish, all that kind of stuff. And they've gone to the pop-out ones, you know, bigger and more Hollywood. So these others are sitting around and at cheap. So we're looking at those. We might be getting one of those. That make it even easier. What? So I'm going, you know, but we have to have the capacity to jack into the Matrix, because this kind of information, they are not going to tell you. And we're lucky enough that I know these people, and they'll trust me not to just, you know, go being stupid. They get to have their say, but, you know, they'll come on. But I get to ask them, why is John Shattuck a senior fellow? How'd that happen? What was the trade-off? All his staff and everything went with the new Congress and David Schweikert. You know, what's the difference? You know, and these guys are going to, you're going to have a free market libertarian group advocating for central planning of the economy. Is that what's going to happen? Oh, and I'm just going to sit here and go, oh, okay, because Goldwater Institute said it? Seriously? Who do you think you're dealing with? Uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. All right, Barry, you get to talk.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've just been so disappointed in the Goldwater Institute. They've left their roots, and they're still relying on the old reputation of when they were a very serious organization. Now it's a pandering operation. I mean, I saw it since the election. Now, all during the election, I kept carping about that, get rid of the income tax and the property taxes. Well, since the election, and without a word during the election, since the election, they've come out with two white papers saying, you know, if we got rid of the income tax and the property tax, we'd be out of this depression. Hello?
Now, but the government wouldn't be, though.
Exactly.
Now, people, they don't care about us. It's a ship of state, man. You know, you keep hearing me say that. You know, I got that from Barry, and he's all mad I don't give him enough credit. But the, you know, it's a, I always say it a little bit differently, but I got that from Barry, is that they're so worried about the ship.
That's right. They want to save the structure, because that's where all of their identity is wrapped up in. And if they had to rely on themselves as a human being with some kind of virtue, they're pretty bereft.
So, what do you think is going to happen next year? Are you going to be running again for office and anywhere or anything?
Yep. Yeah, I decided. I really hesitated, but I realized to the other guys, it's a contest. To me, it's a commitment, and it's a whole different perspective.
Are you going to run for city council or something?
I'll run for something.
Oh, does Gina, his wife, know?
Not yet.
And I didn't do it, Gina. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, my wife brought me some chemtrail antidote goodies, you know, because she just had this with her eye. You know, nothing surprises me anymore. Ernie, do you think that? Do you really think? I go, you know what I think? Let me tell you what I think. This is exactly what I think. I think if they can do something that will maintain, enhance, and expand their intrusiveness and control over the individual for their benefit, they will. That's it. I go, what, do you think there's some moral hurdle they got to get over? Oh, we wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. No, hell no. It's all about how making yours theirs. You know, and the whole justification, they always promise this. The whole justification for government is that, you know, we're going to protect you from those that would do harm to you or take your stuff. You know, you need us so that they're not doing that. And then they become the entity that does it. At what point do you go, deal broken, man? Well, you know, here they come with all of this. It's a new deal. The new deal. They got a new deal, and that new deal is going to be all about how they're going to, save you. And to do that, you're going to have to allow us to indebt you and give that money to these guys because they know what best to do with it because they're good guys. Pinky swear. You know, so that's where I see this. And it just angers me. Just keep seeing it happen over and over and over.
It's relentless. And you know who really is going to tell the tale? And I noticed, incidentally, the timing for all of these abrogations of our rights and the clamping down and the total control. It happens to coincide with the retirement of the baby boomers, a large, large number of people. And who's left who is of an age to be active and get all fired up? Less. The kids now, the Y generation. I think I said why generation.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, why bother? And I've seen it so much in talking with these young kids. What I've started to see as a real thread that follows every single one of them is a sense of hopelessness for the future. I mean, sure, you know, they'll take the money now, but there won't be anything to buy them groceries with when they're older.
You know, this is the one thing. I just finally watched the movie Social Network last night. You know, it's about Facebook. And Mark Zuckerman, or whatever his name is. Heck, I didn't even know his name until the movie. But a lot of people say, you got to watch it. And I knew I needed to watch it. I knew. And I kind of predicted what was going to happen. And it was pretty much as I imagined it would happen. Because I kind of knew the rough story of it. And it comes down to this. What a lot of people don't know, we saved the domain for Defending Archimedes. DefendingArchimedes.com, org.net. Where that came from and why is that over the years, I have met with, become friends of the 1600 perfect SAT score people, okay? These are, they're in a whole nother category. It's if we would look at, but a lot of them, you know, they're missing some social skill, kind of like Zimmerman. He was an asshole, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to, you know, bleep that out. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that, you know, it's not that he is. He just doesn't know how to interface well because they deal on such a higher plane of intelligence. While he's drunk, pissed off at his girlfriend that dumped him, he gets on, starts blogging. As he's blogging, he writes Facebook. He just, boom, done. There it is. You know, go deal with it. Well, this, and then, of course, it progressed from there. One of the guys that helped him kind of navigate through this stuff that went through this was another genius. I can't remember his name. Well, it doesn't matter. He was the guy that came up with Napster, you know, to allow peer-to-peer transfer of music files, and it totally destroyed the record industry. You know, Tower Records, done, all right? So this is, and they understood, money was not really the issue with them. The issue was, you know, just this control kind of get out of my face because I can't. Well, we are very fortunate as humanity that we produce these kinds of people a lot more than you think. There are probably more geniuses in Asia or maybe even just China than there are entire the population in America. That was one of the points they were making in the movie. So when you unleash this. You get out of the way. You don't try and identify them with, this iPod and iPad have now a new thing that kind of fits on your head like this, and it has a little sensor that goes on your forehead, and it goes on the back and on your earlobe, and it tracks your brain waves, and you can train yourself by making things move and so on in an interactive way on your iPad. You can promote this wave, that wave, meditation, relaxation, focus, concentration, anger, whatever you want to do. You can sit there and learn to control your mind. Here we go. This is the beginning. Then you can accentuate that. Well, it'll be an implant or something. You can get more of something. You're going to be people, 5-year-old kids with their little ear clip and, throwing stuff at you, all right, with their brain.
Yeah.
So you never know. But the point that I'm making is, we are very fortunate that we have enormously intelligent, crazy smart 200 IQ individuals that have embraced love. To be happier, the only ones I've seen that have successfully been able to integrate their lives in with other human beings that are not on the same intellectual level. They may be smart in other ways. They have talents in, gaming or talents in art or music or, interaction or just being able to speak or advocate or see, predict, whatever it is. Everybody has their own thing. But some people, they just got that kind of almost all of it. They got big, high processing kind of mind that can focus. The ones that are successful in being able to interact with people, the ones that have a happy life, the ones that enjoy, they have chosen the path of love. They have chosen a path that it is in their best interest and everyone else's if we are just left alone and to leave them alone. That's where the concept came to me a couple of years ago of getting the site, just like I had walletvoting.com for the past 7-8 years, and we're finally just starting to use it because I knew it was coming. Defending Archimedes. Defending that one genius guy. Archimedes invented pi, 3.14159926, whatever the heck it is. So he's geometry and trigonometry and calculus and all this, he's doing in his head thousands of years before Christ, or at least hundreds. It was BC, Right. Okay? And he was like, a lot of weapons and so on for Greek, wherever, it doesn't matter. Defending Archimedes. You look up Archimedes, man, you learn, man, wow. There's documentaries and so on, amazing mind. I have met some of these minds, and the only thing that they ever wanted was one thing. Leave me alone. I don't want a special program. The only thing I want is a beanbag chair and all the books I want to read and, not be too hot or too cold. That's it.
And as importantly, I don't want to control other people.
Well, they've learned that. But our society beats it into them to where you get somebody that the culture has created, someone that may be like a Mark Zuckerman or a Google guys or Yahoo or these guys, and they're much more easily susceptible to go be with the secret handshake people and try to control everybody because they have the tool to do it. And they, just like Eisenhower warned us, we will be ruled by a scientific, technological elite because the curiosity of the garage tinkerer, the intellectual curiosity to just find the truth, will be replaced by a government grant. Eisenhower, farewell speech, 1960. That's what he said. Or 61, or where it was, when it transitioned between him and Kennedy. And he goes, look, this is what we're dealing with. Everybody keeps thinking about the military-industrial complex part of that speech. His main focus was, it wasn't just that. It was the technological, scientific elite that will take over all of the great minds. And how do they do that? Everybody take their SAT? Everybody do their little iPod, phone kind of tracking mental whatever? Everybody taking these tests, men's and this, that? They identify these people. And they go, yep, you're working with us now. Wow. Defending Archimedes will be an active effort sooner or later. I understand where this is going. It's going to be like, River Thames in Serenity, the movie. They go around and they find all the genius little kids and they put them in service of the state. Humanity marches on. Humanity will overcome this stuff. Humanity is much more diverse than whatever's going on here in America. It is people everywhere. And the state is afraid because they're communicating with each other. What are they planning? Better hope it's the good guys win out, because the bad guys are going to be bad. Got any final comments, Barry?
Just keep your eyes open and your guns loaded. I'll tell you what, somebody's coming and we just don't know who the enemy is. But the enemy is anybody who tells you they've got a plan for your life.
You know, Barry has a good, you know, thing that he always says. He goes, I just feel so inundated. I feel like I need to turn myself into somebody. I just don't know to whom or for what.
Yeah.
It's just how they make you feel. It was on purpose. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This is Ernest Hancock. I'm publisher of freedomsphoenix.com and the radio talk show host of Declare Your Independence. Now, I want to give you my personal endorsement of a wealthy U.S. citizen that is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He's produced a video for you. It's a real eye-opener, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to watch it. www.endofamerica1and7.com. endofamerica17.com. This video has the history of how we got where we are now and where we're going and why. Now, it's a lengthy video. It'll be about 20 minutes, but you need to watch this so you understand what's going to happen to this country and how you can protect your wealth and even benefit financially. Now, you go there. It's free. I want you to watch this video. You need to have this information so that you can survive the economic collapse that's coming to America. It's not if, it's when. That's End of America, the numbers 1and7.com. After you watch it, you'll understand why I endorsed it.